Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to the Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 711. I am your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox Penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, is in the other room looking out the window. Ah, yes. Oh, this is going to be a fun one. My back is a little banged up at the moment. It's a weird one, too. I've never had, like, middle of my back issues, but it's, like, middle of my back. I'll muscle through, though. I may or may not go climbing later. Which means I might also have to stop the podcast at some point if my friend John comes by, which he said he would probably be down for climbing, but never said what day, what time, whatever. I'm recording this on Saturday. I had yesterday off, Friday, being that it was Good Friday. As you know, I will be uploading this on Zombie Jesus Day, Easter. Historically, the first appearance of a zombie in history. At least I'm not aware of anything written before that referenced zombies coming back to life. Last week after recording the podcast, went over to Jackman's, played board games, and did get a little bit of the scoop on Afro Man, whereas Tony was over there with Marcellus and Benjamin, and Ben has the V10 Ben on TikTok, and of course they had heard somebody had let Ben know that there was a Rolls Royce. Of course, I mentioned this last week, but somebody had given him the word, the scoop, that there was a Rolls Royce over at the laundromat there in Washington, and or here in Washington, rather. And, you know, Ben likes to film cars for his TikTok, and he's on YouTube and whatnot. But I think he mainly uses TikTok these days. But he's gotten very good. He's very good. And they said there was a Rolls Royce at the laundromat, so his mother, Tony, and him went over to the laundromat. And lo and behold, Mr. Afro Man was there. I don't remember his real name, so we'll just say Mr. Afro Man. But yeah, it was Afro Man's Rolls Royce with the lemon pound cake license plate on the front, which I think that's just on the front plate. I think the back plate's probably like a normal license plate. I didn't quite catch the back plate. Apparently, Afro Man was super nice, they said, and they even got Marcellus, Ben's brother, to come over, and he let him take pictures with him. And apparently, like, Afro Man was on the phone, like, most of the time that they were at the laundromat, and he was talking to, I want to say he was either talking to or talking about Black Jackie, I think is what they said. It might have been a different name. It was Black something. But he's like, hold on, I think these kids want pictures. Something along those lines. I am trying to remember this from a week ago, so I'm probably getting the facts wrong here. But, or, you know, I might have them right. I don't know. I'm old. I'm really not sure. Tony did say that Afro Man had, like, at least, like, six of those American flag suits that he was washing at the laundromat. Like, that's just fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. But he was apparently super cool, super nice. And of course, like, for Ben's video, he did go out and pose on in front of his Rolls Royce. So, I mean, and he took pictures with basically everybody. And he was just apparently just super cool, super chill. Just don't knock down his door, you know, and steal his money. They did, you know, also they broke his gate, knocked down his door, stole some of his money, and, you know, don't do that. And then pose in front of in front of, you know, the security cameras and be dicks. The lemon pound cake is, well, I don't know, that might be the best, or just, you know, the officer pound cake. It's a tough call. I love the lemon pound cake song. I think that's of the songs that I've heard of him making fun of the Adams County cops there. Sheriff's department, you know. I think the lemon pound, I mean, that was just a banger. Of course, I love the song Under the Boardwalk, which he's, you know, sampling that for lemon pound cake, which, oh, I can't get that shit out of my head. And, but as far as the court goes, I think the officer, I talked about this last week, the officer that, Afro Man in a video said he was fucking his wife. the court, in court where they questioned that officer if he had actually had, Afro Man had sex with his wife, and his reply was, I don't know. It's some of the funniest shit. Oh, fucking Afro Man, fucking legend. I still say, put him on the 20, man. Fucking get Andrew Jackson off that shit. No more Trail of Tears. Let's not celebrate that shit. Let's put Afro Man on there. A real American hero. You know, let's do that. Let's get that. Let's make that happen. He is a legit American hero, which I'm finding these days are hard to find. I have made some progress on taping my wall for the Overlook Hotel pattern I'm painting in my kitchen there, but it is slow as fuck. I am, I kind of wish I would have just attempted to do it all with a paintbrush, but I'm like, you know, I've already, I may have been further along with doing the paintbrush. Because taping it the way I'm doing it is taking for fucking ever. It is a bit insane. I don't even know how to describe. I'm trying to think in my head, like, what the measurements would be of the small little area I'm able to get taped in, like, in one night. It's a very small fragment. Because making those sharp lines with the painter's tape in that pattern is proven to be a little difficult. I'm sitting there with an X-Acto blade, and the X-Acto blade works really nice when you use that nice, sharp new blade, but it dulls super fast after cutting a bunch of painter's tape with it. So, kind of sucks. And I'm not going to replace a blade after every, like, 4 to 5 cuts. I'm going to spend a fortune on blades if I do that. It's just going to be annoying as shit. But anyway, I mean, we're talking at, like, I'm thinking it's not even a 12 by 12, like, inches, 12 by 12 space I'm finishing in a night. Maybe. I'm trying to think. It's probably not 12. Maybe 12 by 6. It's a fucking small area. Because I'm usually only putting in, you know, at tops, maybe 2 hours a night doing it. And at the pace I'm currently going, which I did last night, I worked on it a little bit longer last night. I was rocking some records while going to town on it. And I did make it over the last corner. I finished taping over the last corner. Now I've just got the obscenely long stretch of wall, the longest stretch of wall left. And it'll be nice to get out of that. I'm still kind of in that corner, although I did get the tape around the corner, but, like, I'm still, it's kind of awkward getting in there in the corner to tape shit. Kind of awkward is, I don't know, maybe even an understatement. It's a bitch. It's a real fucking bitch. And, yeah, I'm hoping that I can make it down that wall a little bit quicker, but again, the current pace, I'm thinking maybe it's going to take me at least another 15 days to just tape it. And then I'm going to, with the painting, should only take a couple of days, because I think I will probably only need maybe three coats of the black. Maybe I'll have to do a fourth. I won't have to primer the black, because the black will cover over all my lines that I have on there. When I go back to do the orange, I'm going to have to primer over that before I do it. But it's going to take at least 15 more fucking days at the pace I'm going. I'm hoping maybe I can somehow speed it up, that I get just better, but it hasn't really happened. Now, I did seem to do better playing the records, and I had Tony and Jackman had gotten me a gift certificate to River City Music here in town, which is where I tend to buy pretty much all my records. They've got a really great record selection. They constantly get people trading in new used ones, or used ones, you know, whatever. And they have a good collection of new ones. And I bought two new ones. I didn't get any used. I was debating, I was kind of thinking maybe about buying an effects pedal. But they didn't have any that really piqued my interest, shall we? They did have one spring reverb, but it was one I was unfamiliar with. And it was kind of a pricey one. It was like a $200 one. I've been wanting a spring reverb pedal. I just love me some spring reverb. But, you know, I've got some, like, in my amp, the Fender Champ I have a decent reverb effect, spring reverb effect in there. But I would love to have, like a solid, a really nice spring reverb pedal. Son of a bitch. And like the what do they got? The Ocean's 11, I think, is one that that's a decent one. I don't even remember what the name of the one they had was. I was just unfamiliar with it. It might be a really, I mean, I would think it would be a pretty decent one. The price it was like $200. I didn't want one that badly, though. The gift certificate would have taken up, you know, some of it, but I was hoping for something maybe around the, more like a hundo, maybe a slightly over a hundo. They did have Dave Grohl's guitar in there, the Epiphone Dave Grohl in there, which since getting my Gibson ES Supreme, I haven't been wanting that Dave Grohl guitar, which I was really thinking about there for quite some time. They have that guitar there, and it's on clearance for like $900 something, which originally was $1,300 for that guitar. You know, I played it there once, which I did play it there at River City. And I still have my Noel Gallagher guitar, which I never did trade in. And if I did trade that in, it would be pay for the majority of that guitar. I was like, do I really want that guitar that much? I should maybe hold on to selling that until, you know, maybe I really need the money, or have something there that I really want. Which I really did want that Dave Grohl guitar, but after playing all these Gibsons and stuff, do I really want to go after an Epiphone? It's not a nitro lacquer. And honestly, when I played it there, the guitar didn't impress me that much. But, you know, I do love that guitar, the Pelham Blue and what have you. I think if I had it set up and then put on the strings that I have on the most of my other guitars, like, I'd probably dig it a lot more. That being said, well, I know that, you know, it was weird when I played the Adam Jones Les Paul Standard, the Gibson one. When I first got that, it did feel a little weird. And of course, it was just the Gibson strings that they had sent from the factory. But man, when I did a setup on that, I took it to River City, had a setup, and then put the skinny top, heavy bottom on there. Damn, I mean, the thing plays, I mean, it's fucking guitar is a champ. So I imagine, you know, if I did that, did a setup with it, I'm sure I'd enjoy it. I didn't notice anything weird about the neck. I didn't play it for that long there. Like with the Noel Gallagher, just something about when you get to like the around the 12th fret area. Well, maybe I'd say probably more around the 9th fret, because like trying to fret out some chords there was kind of, it just, I don't know. I think the width of the neck just needs to be a little bit wider on that guitar for me, for my liking. And, you know, I feel like the neck was better on that Dave Grohl. What I'm saying is I don't plan on going to get that guitar, though maybe, knowing that it is on clearance. And I rarely ever play that, almost never play that Noel Gallagher anymore, so... I have thought about just keeping that one for my tuned half step down guitar, but you know, maybe the Dave Grohl, I don't know. No, that I get it cheaper now does sell me on it more, but I don't feel like I really need it. But then again, I mean I could get it for basically a couple hundred bucks. I trade in the other guitar, which I would think I'd be able to get, you know, maybe a good 600 out of or so. Maybe. I don't know what they would give me for that. Back to what I was really originally going to talk about going to River City, though, is I did use the gift certificate, though, on some records. Because they do have some great, they have great records there. I mean, they do have some really nice guitars there. It's good that they're not a Gibson dealer, because that might be a problem for me. But they do have Fender. You know, I didn't look to see if they had the Fender, the new Tom Morello Hippopotamus Strat, the Franken Strat, which I would be curious to play that. I don't have any intentions of buying that one either. Just having the one Tom Morello guitar that I don't play all that much. You know, it's fun. It's got the kill switch. But it is kind of funny to have a signature of his hippopotamus Strat, because that one is just, if you know the history of it, it's he had it, went to some like luthier or whatever, and had it like custom made, and then he didn't like a lot of stuff, and he ended up like swapping out necks and stuff. It's not a Fender guitar, and he just like swapped out all the parts on it a bunch of times, and just kind of like, ah, fuck it, I'm just going with that. He just kind of accepted it as it was, and it's a Franken Strat, and it's pretty funny to have that. I mean, it's got like a Kramer neck on it and shit. Like, there's it's a strange guitar, and it's just so funny to have that as a fucking signature model. But anyway, I didn't buy any other guitars, but I did get some records, and the records I did get were I'm gonna totally make sure I say the right name. I bought Portishead's first record, Dummy, which I had their second self-titled one, which I fucking, I mean, I love me some Portishead in general, but I thought that, you know, Dummy is, I guess it'd be my favorite, is the original. They have the three studio albums, Dummy, the self-titled, and I think the third one is called The Third. So now I have the first two albums on vinyl. I'd like to get their live album. But then I got the Flaming Lips, Yoshimi Battles the Pink Robots. And, man, you know, I've always loved Portishead for when I just want to chill out. And I enlist a Portishead in a minute. And it's good to have some chill music when you're doing something like taping walls like intricate patterns and cutting the shit with like some X-Acto blades. You want to be chill. You don't want some thrash metal or death metal encouraging you to get more pissed off while you're cutting these things, you know? And I already had one close call with a knife one night where it did fly, dropped it out of my hand, and then stabbed into some cardboard and came close to stab myself in the leg. I was like, oh, fuck. Now I got real paranoid one night. The cat kept wanting to lay under me while I was doing that. I was like, please don't, man. I will lose my shit. I would feel so fucking horrible if I dropped a knife on him and then fucking stabbed him, man. It'd be fucking terrible. So, really trying to get him to not do that. And when he was around me, man, I was gripping that knife like, oh, tight. I had a tight, tight grip on there. But anyway, yeah. Those records, I thought were fantastic. I've of course listened to both of those records before, not on vinyl, but this is my first experience listening to it on vinyl. Man, the Portishead, they really spend some money on their vinyl. There, they got some good quality sleeves and stuff on there, and shit. Portishead's always been the thing that, I don't know why, it's just like, if I want to relax, like Portishead's just like, oh yeah. And I don't do that very often. I feel like I need, especially nowadays, I need to do that more often. I did also listen to the Devo record. It's the Freedom of Choice, the one with Whippet on there. And Shelly, of course, got me that for, I want to say it was Christmas. Either Christmas or my birthday. I want to say it was Christmas. And they actually have, like, in the sleeve of that one, they've got a mail-in catalog. Club Devo. There's an order form that you can send stuff. I don't think this is active anymore because I think that album came out in, like, 1980. I think this is just a reprint. Because they have Visa and MasterCard on there, and it's X'd out on there. So I'm thinking this shit isn't active anymore. But I'm wondering if maybe it is, because this was a new album. This wasn't like a used thing. I'm guessing that, I'm wondering if they really, I guess I could, you know, do a simple Google search to find out. But I thought it was pretty cool that you could, I assume this is a store that they had set up initially. And they've got like a yellow jumpsuit you can order, a flicker button, some t-shirts, a leisure suit. It's the shirt and jacket only, postcards, and 3D glasses. And the prices, I would guesstimate, are definitely from 1980. Because for the yellow jumpsuit, it's $12.25. Flicker button, $3. Well, $3 would be reasonable, I guess, even for now. But that's, I don't believe, including shipping. T-shirts, no fucking way that a band t-shirt would cost this little. $8.25. The leisure suit's the most expensive thing. Oh, I see. There's two different. You can get the whole leisure suit or the shirt and jacket only. It's separately. The whole leisure suit's $15. Like, they're not fucking around. All those albums, though, were great ones to listen to while I was doing that taping. And, like, man, it'd been a minute since I listened to that Flaming Lips album. And it's got, of course, the Yoshimi Battles the Pink Robots is that album. And I guess the more bigger song on there is Do You Realize, which is a great song. But, oh, man, I do love me some Flaming Lips. And, it hit the spot, you know? It hit the spot. I will definitely be, I'm going to have to listen to some more records when I go back to taping. As, that shit is very frustrating. As, again, I'm thinking probably going to take at least 15 more days to, at least. That is considering if I do it every night for 15 days. Just to do tape the black. I'm half-assed tempted to just like paint the black where I've got it taped already, but I just need to tape it all and then paint it all at once. Like, it's just it's a little. I'm definitely not quitting at any point to do it. I'm gone way too far to just throw in the towel. I've done too much work. But it is aggravating. It is consuming a lot of time. It's definitely consuming a lot of time. And but I've, you know, I've done stuff outside of that a little bit here and there. I've been visiting friends more often. Later tonight, I'm supposed to go and play the Fallout board game that I believe I got it for Muffin Man for Christmas or his birthday, one of those. And I'd forgotten about it, and I was like, oh, hell yeah, I'll go over and play that. I totally dig playing that. And so hopefully I'll be doing that later. Yeah, that'll be exciting. I did, of course, board games last weekend. Two different days. You know, Shelly Nabita came over, and we did Trivial Pursuit. I mentioned it last week. I got my ass handed to me. I didn't get a single slice of pie. That is the worst game of Trivial Pursuit I've ever had. Son of a bitch. I'm going to have to go through all those cards and remember all the answers. This is a motherfucker. My brain's going to shit, I guess. He used to be so good at Trivial Pursuit. aging sucks, you know? Son of a bitch. But besides that, I did watch Wonder Man. I did finally get around to watching that. I started watching the Daredevil Season 2, The Born Again, I believe is the name of that one. Daredevil Born Again Season 2. Didn't get very far in there. Wonder Man, I'd heard good things. People are saying it's possibly the best Marvel show. I don't know if I'd go that far. It's entertaining. I liked it. I just like the title sequence where it's like Wonder Man. It looks like an old show from like the 70s, like it or 80s. Well, I guess it'd be more like the 70s, the font and stuff. It was definitely worth a watch. I found it. I thought there'd be more to it. There wasn't. You know, the episodes are very short. Which is also with the Game of Thrones, which I just recently finished up, the Night of the Seven Kingdoms. Like every episode was like 30 minutes, and it just like they were really good, but it's like it's only like what 6-7 episodes, and like 30 minutes a piece. It was. Felt a little underwhelmed. I had to go up, move on to other content pretty much immediately. But the Wonder Man was entertaining. Would I rank it number one? Definitely not of the Marvel shows. I mean, there's definitely been a lot of stinkers now. Like, there's some pretty bad ones in there. I'm looking at you, Hawkeye. Anyway. I would take She-Hulk over Hawkeye. I didn't think She-Hulk was quite as bad as people said it was. I found it entertaining. I mean, of course, Tatiana Maslany, who plays She-Hulk, she was on the podcast Comedy Bang Bang. I thought it was fucking hilarious. I love Tatiana Maslany. She's great when she's been on Comedy Bang Bang. She hasn't been on there in a minute. But she's well aware of how people did not really enjoy She-Hulk. And She was, you know, on Comedy Bang Bang. If you're not familiar, they do basically improv comedy on there. They have people come in as characters, and pretty much everything they say on there is complete made up bullshit. And Tatiana is funny. She, you know, she jokes about shit constantly. She's not being very serious on there, you know. And she claimed she was joking. She said, I forgot exactly what she had said, but she was talking about Deadpool when, of course, they did Deadpool and Wolverine. And she claimed that they cut her out of it, that she was supposed to be in it, or that, I don't remember what the deal was, but she said, like, she was supposed to be in that or whatever, and that she pissed off at Ryan Reynolds. She was making shit up. And apparently somebody had picked it up in, like, Deadline or something, one of those big, like, Hollywood magazines where they talk about the biz, and thought it was a real beef. And stuff, and I guess got her in. I think they may have got her in a little bit of trouble with Marvel. but it was a joke and taken out of context. anyway, I would say though, for me, I still think the best Marvel shows, number one for me, is Loki. And, I mean, I did fall in love with Sylvie. I mean, she's, as Loki did too, which she is also Loki. So it's, and then, WandaVision, I think, is number two. And, you know, there's some other good ones, but I think those are one and two. Past that, I don't know. There's so fucking many of those shows now. It's definitely overpopulated, but I still find them entertaining. You know, there's, I can see why, you know, people bitch about there being so many fucking comic book movies now, and how they're tired of it. I get it, but at the same time, you know, there's a lot of movies in general that, you know, are bad. There's good and bad, and it, when you look at the Foxinator is coming to say hi. What's up, buddy? Please don't hit the soundboard. Please don't hit the soundboard. You can come up, jump on the desk. Don't hit the soundboard. Come here. You gonna come say hi? You got some thoughts on Marvel shows? As I lost track of what I was talking about. where was that? Anyway, yeah, I would. One and two are definitely WandaVision and Loki. Oh, what I was going to say is, going back, you know, I used to read comics a lot. I stopped, I guess, in my, shit, I don't remember. I did it for several years. I must have stopped around the age of 20-ish. I don't recall. I don't honestly recall, but it was quite a few years there where I was into comics. And, I was really into, like, X-Men comics and stuff. And look, there's good and bad comics. And there's such a massive amount of content, you know, written in comics. You know, there is just a fuck ton of stuff to dig from, to use from. So I can see why, you know, I mean, they could make this shit indefinitely. I mean, comics have been around since, what, the 30s, the 40s? I don't remember when the first comic book was made, but it was a long fucking time ago. And there is some very, very great writing in a lot of those comics. I mean, not all of it is top-notch shit, but, you know, there is a lot to draw from. So I get why, you know, they keep doing it. I'm not anti. I love X-Men and stuff. I'm excited to see them do much better with the X-Men. I was entertained by a lot of the X-Men movies. Some were horrible, like really horrible, and like really, really horrible. And some were decent, you know, decent movies. But I even thought, even with the decent ones, I thought they could have done better. Like one of the better ones I would say would be like X-Men First Class, when they like went back in time, and you got the like McAvoy, James McAvoy is Professor X, and you know, I did enjoy, always enjoyed Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, even if he was in like some shitty movies. I thought he was, you know, really good. He just, even though he wasn't comic book accurate, shall we say. but I mean, good Lord. I mean, when you think of the superhero physique, you can't help but think like Hugh Jackman and like the effort he put into becoming Wolverine. And, you know, especially fuck this last time, him doing it in his 50s, like mad respect to like getting in that kind of shape. And looking into like his diet he had to take, you know, every day, the amount of fucking calories he was consuming. I don't remember. It was like 4,000 to 6,000 calories. I don't know. It was a fuck ton of fucking food. Like in a day, you know, you don't do that every day, but you bulk up and, you know, at times, and then you cut, and then it's a full-time job building yourself up like that. And even if you have money and whatnot, that is, I respect that. That is a lot of work to go through to get your body into that shape, which I'm for doing that as opposed to, I don't like when actors like purposely starve themselves and then like make like Christian Bale did in, what was it, the movie The Machinist, where he's just like, he looks like a concentration camp survivor. Like, I feel like that's unnecessary. Like, I admire people that put in some effort to change their appearance and whatnot for a film, but not for a super unhealthy. I'm not saying, you know, for the most part, acting's really not that hard of a job. Not saying that I'm a great actor, but when we're talking about difficult jobs, I got a way harder job, physically speaking. But there's really no point in starving yourself and doing stuff that you know. I don't know what the point I'm trying to get to is. I'm losing myself here. I'm getting some sound from my phone there, unfortunately, from updates. I turned it on because I want to be aware. I think I may have mentioned before on a previous episode where I was considering getting a bust. I'm pretty sure I mentioned this a few times, actually. Now I'm thinking about it. Where I was considering getting a bust of Ash from The Evil Dead. That is Bruce Campbell's character in The Evil Dead, which is one of the greatest characters in horror history. And it's a damn shame we never got the Freddy versus Jason versus Ash. That would have been amazing. They did put it out in comic book form, but we never got to see Bruce Campbell take on Robert Englund on film. That would have been fantastic. Anyway, I spend a lot of time on Etsy. Nowadays, now I got to pull up Etsy. And if you like really awesome things that people make, like by hand and like real artists, you know, Etsy's fucking awesome. And you get some just amazing shit on there. Just amazing. And I've been looking at this bust, Evan Para FX, P-A-R-R-A, Evan Para FX. He makes these busts, and they're not 3D printed. He makes it, I think, out of clay, and then he's on Instagram as well. And he'll make a mold, and then he'll go through and, you know, paint these things with fucking great detail. I mean, this is like this is like movie quality kind of shit. Now, I haven't seen it in person yet, but like I don't think there's anybody that's given a poor rating out of the 454 ratings on Etsy here. I don't know that there's any negative ones. He's been on Etsy for 10 years, and but he's got one currently, like, apparently I messaged him because he only sells one at a time. I don't know if he has it like pre-made, but I'd seen the Bruce Campbell one on there a few times, and I've been waiting for him to message me, or not message me, but to upload the Bruce Campbell one again, because I've seen it on there for sale a few times and then taken off. So he only sells like one at a time. So I finally just messaged him and asked if he was going to be doing the Bruce Campbell one again. And he says, "Hey, Josh, sorry for the delay, but yes, I'll be doing the Ash Bust forever, basically. I just have it currently unlisted at the moment because I'm working on a few new busts, which I'm curious to see is. That's why there's only a few things listed, so I can spread orders out a bit and free up a little time here and there. But everything in the shop is made to order and usually takes around 4 to 6 weeks. And if you'd ever like to put in an order for anything, just let me know and I'll relist it for you. Hope this helps. If you need anything at all or have any questions, just let me know. Thanks, buddy." And so I messaged him back like, "Yes, awesome. I will definitely be ordering one of the Bruce Campbell busts." So, so I imagine I'll be ordering that here soon. So as soon as he relists that, I will be ordering that. And yeah, I am. It'll be exciting to have a Bruce Campbell bust. And yeah, man, I'm just thinking about him having cancer. Shit is just sucks, man. Bruce Campbell is just I've just always loved me some Bruce Campbell. And I think the first, I think I saw him in other stuff before I saw The Evil Dead, because Evil Dead 2 was the first one I saw, and I've mentioned before, like, my friends loved it so much that I was like, "Oh, this is kind of cheesy," and I was just kind of, like, dismissive of it initially. You know, I'd come to love it, and, and I remember watching, because at the time, I don't know, I thought the horror comedy, like, I wasn't into that initially, which is funny, because I was into some cheesy fucking horror movies. But I remember watching Evil Dead 2 first, and then watching the first Evil Dead, and I was like, "I like this better. It's more serious." I was young at the time, too. I was a little fucking dick. Now I'm an old dick. Anyway. I remember seeing Bruce Campbell in, you know, a bunch of, you know, TV shows. Like, Xena is, like, one of the first things I remember him from. Xena, Warrior Princess, which... fucking, of course, the great Lucy Lawless. Fox, hey, man, you're going to fuck up those blinds, homie. Dude, please don't fuck up those blinds. Okay. Anyway. I opened the other window so you'd look out that, man. Fuck. Anyway. Yeah, I remember watching them, and there was a... Briscoe County Jr., I think, is the TV show he was in. I watched that a bit. And, I mean, he was in a lot of TV shows. And then he would go on to do Bubba Hotep, you know? That was, early 2000s? Fantastic, where he's Elvis Presley in a nursing home. That movie, I watched it not too long ago on the projector, and fantastic. Fantastic. yeah. It looks like I'll be ordering that bust here soon. I'll be waiting back. I imagine he'll get back to me in within the next day or so. Which it didn't take that long. He said, "Sorry for the delay." And I messaged him yesterday. I got that message at like 7 this morning. he got it to me pretty quick. I don't expect to message somebody on like Etsy and immediately get a reply back. I realize, you know, the work, I mean, the stuff he does, I would definitely say check him out on, like, Instagram and stuff. Because, like, you can follow him on Instagram. He, like, has videos and, like, how he does the molds and whatnot. And, I've just always been a fan of art in general, but also stuff like that where it's, like, movie quality, you know, doing molds and everything to build creatures. You know, I grew up in the age, as a child, there wasn't a thing called computer generated graphics. and definitely pre-AI. So it was all stuff like sculpted by real human beings. And so, I mean, you get, you know, even before Greg Nicotero, which, you know, he's fantastic, but you had like Stan Winston. And, you know, Adam Jones would work under Stan Winston, I believe, with Industrial... Was Stan Winston with Industrial Light & Magic? Anyway, I mean, I love me Adam Jones, whether it be him and Tool or, you know, his art. He does some pretty great stuff. I mean, he worked on Jurassic Park. He worked on one of the Nightmare on Elm Streets. Anyway, always enjoyed that kind of stuff, special effects type stuff. Yeah, being able to support real artists like that, I'm all for that. And more, finding myself doing it more and more now that, you know, AI is just fucking ruining everything, in my opinion. it helps in a few things, but for the most part, I feel like it is just fucking, I'm a fan of deviant art. You know, I like to use art off there for like wallpapers and stuff, and like seeing the art that, you know, real artists do. Again, that's something, you know, I really enjoy. Like, but even it has gotten inundated with AI slop. I'm surprised. I feel like they shouldn't allow it, you know. But there's people. It kills me. Because they are just all AI art is all over it. And then you get these people that are pushing their AI slop and they're even watermarking it. Like, and then talking about, oh, this is what, oh, talking about, you can read their descriptions of it and everything and about how, like, they're pumping themselves up, like, how awesome they are. When all you're doing is putting in a prompt telling me. Computer what you want, and then it's just stealing designs from other art that other people did and converting it into the shit that you wanted. And it's just it's so fucking annoying, man. It's so annoying. Fucking AI, man. AI. Fuck AI. Especially when it comes to art, man. Support real artists, man, because it's always been hard for artists to make a living, you know, and it's yeah, just fucking Etsy, you know, I feel like I just need to buy more and more shit off Etsy, and I need to quit spending money. But there's just so many great artists on Etsy. And they, especially when it comes to like movie props, replicas, and or just busts, and just so much cool shit that people make, like real human beings. And well, I've just always been a fan of craftsmanship, whether it just be like a painting or just a guitar made of, you know, real wood that you know, you stain it just right with a good sunburst or whatever kind of burst, or just one solid color on just a flamed maple top. I mean, there's just the beauty in handmade things and just good quality stuff like wood, you know. I'm having an orgasm in my brain right now. Just thinking of this stuff. The problem is, though, buying this bust, like, this might end up leading me to end up buying more busts. I almost had to ask, like, ooh, what do you got in the mix here? He's saying he's got new busts. Currently, he's just got four listed, and it's Sloth from Goonies, Pluto from The Hills Have Eyes, the Wes Craven classic. Peter Cushing, let's see here, The Abominable Mr. Phibbs. I mean, this shit is, The sloth one kind of freaks me out. Like, I love the Goonies, but to have... I don't know that I could do the sloth bust, man. Oh, it looks really good, but man, that would... That one kind of creeps me out. like really creeps me out. My audio sounds really weird, and I got to stop brushing my face up against the pop blocker, whatever. But man, I don't know what's going on. I probably need to update my soundboard or something weird. I don't know, turn the volume up, made it sound a little bit better. It was sounding strange, something strange. I do know that Evan Parra has also, which I imagine if I wanted, you can get the Alex from Clockwork Orange, which I do enjoy that movie, but you know, I don't know that I want that bust. you know, the movies, I can see as being a much older adult now, why maybe I wouldn't want that. And that character is, you know, he's a rapist and he does really awful shit. But he also has done like a Clint Eastwood from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Now that one is tempting. I fucking love Sergio Leone and The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. That is one of the greatest. I think to me that is my favorite Western, is Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And that one is super tempting. That one is super tempting. Not for Clint Eastwood's politics so much, but I do love me some old Clint Eastwood. And fuck me, dude. That is... I'm not really a John Wayne fan, but Clint Eastwood, those Clint Eastwood westerns, A Fistful of Dollars, A Few Dollars More. Fuck, man. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, man. Just, that's some good shit. The close-ups of the eyes and shit. I need to go back and watch The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. That movie is fucking amazing. And to know, like, when they were filming that, and, you know, there was other big spaghetti Western directors, but, like, with The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, like, Clint Eastwood was, like, one of the only people that spoke English on set. Like, I think there was other actors that, like, spoke English, but I don't think, maybe he knows how to speak Italian now, but, like, when he was, at least the first film or two he did of that, I don't think he really understood any Italian. And yet, you know, Sergio Leone, I don't think spoke English. Again, I haven't looked into this in a long time, but I think there had to be a little awkward, you know. It was a little awkward. I'd had to look, research, do some research on that, but I would think that would be a little difficult, you know, if you had like the director and writer and whatnot. I don't know who spoke English and Italian and who conversed, but there was definitely, I think, hard to, you know, get all that stuff straightened out. anyway, yeah, I am quite curious to what those other busts are. I can't afford to buy more than that bust right now, though. Well, I guess maybe if I sold that guitar. Maybe that's what I'll do. So that Noel Gallagher guitar, so I can buy yet another bust. But we'll see what those other ones are. I'm sure we would probably take suggestions, too. yeah, I'm pretty excited to get that. I imagine he'll get back to me before too long and about listing that ash bust so I can bust all over my table with it. I imagine for when I first get it, although it said it like 4 to 6 weeks, so yeah, I'm thinking I won't be done with my walls by then. Definitely won't be done with my walls. Again, 15 days, at least 15 days more of just cutting the taping the stuff. And then I'm going to have to paint the black. And then I got to turn around, pull the tape off, and then retape for the orange. I mean, maybe I'd have that stuff done by the time he got the bust completed, perhaps. But I don't know. That seems optimistic with the pace I'm going on the walls. What I'm thinking of doing, though, is like I have a like kind of like a bar area that I did have, or I still have one bar stool sitting. Not really bar stool. It's like a it's like an island, and then I've got like a stool sitting up against it. But since the table's there now, I really have no need to have stools there. So on that countertop area, I'd like to put like that the ash bust I'm going to put on there. I need to get a stand to put my Jason Voorhees mask on. And then I might get another bust or two, or perhaps just some other movie props to lay out on there. Because I think that would just look fucking, you know, it fits the motif downstairs. still... I don't think I'm going to be doing that pattern again on the wall in my dining room. I thought about doing that initially. I think I will probably just go with getting the smaller movie posters to line the top of the wall with. But we'll see. We'll see what the... I highly doubt it, but it took me so... It's taken me so long to do the stuff above the cabinets that... I had to really hate myself to want to do that again. But I know it would be easier over that other section simply because there's, I wouldn't be going around any corners. So that definitely would make things, oh, just way easier, way easier. I should probably not do that over that area. I feel like I should probably just go ahead and order those posters, those movie posters, though, since and just like put them up there just so I don't get any bad ideas. to fucking just like, all right, let's do this. But I have plenty of paint to do it. I think I have enough painter's tape. I might have to order some more. The stuff I'm mainly using, though, was like, I don't know, I spent maybe $9 on Amazon to buy like a bulk pack of the thinner painter's tape, which is the exact width of the lines I wanted. So, I mean, it wouldn't be that. Even if I did manage to run through it all, I don't think I will. I have only used, it was quite a few rolls of that tape, and I don't think I'm going to run out of that tape. that tape just worked out quite nicely. I don't know. I'm almost trying to talk myself into painting this. I got to stop thinking about that. It's like, I must really hate myself. This is the only thing I can really figure is that there's just a lot of self-hatred that would even let me consider doing that. It's just... What is wrong with me? I do love art, though, you know, like I was saying with loving artists and stuff. And there is some big satisfaction I get to completing tasks, especially if it is just a huge pain in the ass. I imagine when I do finish this project, I will feel pretty satisfied about it. And, you know, who knows? Maybe afterwards, like, let's do some other crazy design. And, because why not? But man, it is, I think part of the reason why I've had the issue with the back and my arms are fucked up anyway from work, but then, like, just standing above my cabinets in a weird bent manner and stuff has really fucked with my I am sore all over, and just spending hours up there just fucking with my head like shoved up into the corner, my back bent all funny, my arms constantly held up, it's kind of fucked my shit up. Like, I have so much more respect now for Michelangelo and the 16th chapel, which I need to look that. I don't think it was 20 years. Let's see. see here. 16th Chapel. I want to see the, let's just see Sistine. Or Sistine, not 16th. Sistine. How long did it take to paint that fucker? Let's see here. Oh, here we go. Michelangelo's frescoes. Ba-ba-ba. Let's see here. I have so much respect now for for this shit. Like, he spent so long just, like, laying out on his back painting the ceiling of that fucking place. Let's see what it says here on Wikipedia about it. Michelangelo was commissioned by Pope Julius II in 1508 to repaint the vault or ceiling of the chapel. The work was completed between 1508 and late 1512. Oh, I thought it was longer than that. He painted the Last Judgment or over the altar between 1535 and 1541 on commission from Pope Paul III Farnese. So he worked on... That's a big swath of time there. He completed the... Shit, well, what was he doing in between those years? Michelangelo was intimidated by the scale of the commission and made it known from the outset of Julius II's approach that he would prefer to decline. Yeah, no shit, man. I am just doing like a pattern that just has a lot of straight lines on my walls, and it's fucking ridiculous and fucking me all up. Dude, the Sistine Chapel is fucking nuts. It's good to know that he declined that first. He felt he was more of a sculptor than a painter, and was suspicious that such a large-scale project was being offered to him by enemies as a setup for inevitable fall. For Michelangelo, the project was a distraction from the major marble sculpture that had preoccupied him for the previous few years. The sources of Michelangelo's inspiration are not easily determined. Both Jokite and Augustinian theologians were within the sphere of Julius's influence. The ceiling. To be able to reach the ceiling, Michelangelo needed a support. The first idea was by Julius' favored architect, Donato Bramante, who wanted to build for him a scaffold to be suspended in the air with ropes. However, Bramante did not successfully complete the task, and the structure he built was flawed. He had perforated the vault in order to lower strings to secure the scaffold. Michelangelo laughed when he saw the structure and believed it would leave holes in the ceiling once the work was ended. He asked Bramante what was to happen when the painter reached the perforations, but the architect had no answer. The matter was taken before the Pope, who ordered Michelangelo to build a scaffold of his own. Michelangelo created a flat wooden platform on brackets built out from holes in the wall, high up near the top of the windows. Contrary to popular belief, he did not lie on the scaffolding while he painted, but painted from a standing position. Okay, that sounds better, because I always thought it was the laying. Still, though, standing for long periods of time painting, still not great. Michelangelo used bright colors, although I feel like laying might be easier. Michelangelo used bright colors easily visible from the floor. On the lowest part of the ceiling, he painted the ancestors of Christ. Above, he alternated male and female prophets with Jonah over the altar. On the highest section, Michelangelo painted 9 stories from the book of Genesis. He was originally commissioned to paint only 12 figures, the apostles. He turned down the commission because he saw himself as a sculptor, not a painter. The Pope offered to allow Michelangelo to paint biblical scenes of his own choice as a compromise. After the work was finished, there were more than 300 figures. His figures showed the creation, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden and the Great Flood. The painted area is about 40 meters or 131 feet long. Fuck me. By 13 meters or 43 feet wide. Yeah, and I'm bitching about above my cabinet, son of a bitch. This means that Michelangelo painted for well over 5,000 square feet of frescoes. Son of a bitch, man. That is insane, man. That is some crazy shit. good Lord. Just looking at these what he painted on that ceiling, man. That shit is fucking nuts. I don't get a full breakdown of the years. I'm a little confused about there being a break in time between his initial, because it says painted the ceiling 1508 to 1512. That's only a 4-year thing, but then he went back and did some more shit. I know he did it. I thought he did it for even longer. But does say he went back and did some other stuff in the Sistine Chapel. Yeah. Either way, spending years painting shit like that. Holy fuck. Well, I mean, hopefully he made, you know, decent money for back in the day. That is quite the work. I am not a very good artist. I'm just painting straight lines in a hexagon, making hexagons on the wall. I know I had a stencil. he wasn't using a stencil at all. That was just free balling. Although I would imagine he, you know, probably made some kind of sketches, maybe in like some kind of light, you know. Maybe use, I don't know what he, I don't think pencils were really, he used something to like maybe put a pattern on the, you know, wall before like initial paint. I'm sure he did some kind of like line drawing, something. And maybe, you know, use something to reference to make sure that, put some kind of lines or something up there to make sure he had the right dimensions on everything. I don't know. I don't know how you go about tackling a project quite like that. That is insane. But man, I wonder what kind of sense of accomplishment he must have felt at the end of that, knowing that he painted all that and to be done with it. That had to be something else. That is a big fucking area to paint over. His sculptures, though, pretty fantastic. Oh, this one looks kind of like an orgy. Anyway, I think I'm about good here. I haven't gotten any messages yet about climbing. Maybe I like climbing, but I'm thinking it's probably best, a better idea for me not to climb this. I'm pretty banged up. I should probably not do that. That's and it will give me some time to go down and get a little bit more taping done. Though I feel like maybe I should lay off that a bit too, but really need to get it done. I'd like to get it done in less than 15 days. Don't see that happening, but it'd be nice to throw some records on and maybe tape a little bit. But we'll see what happens. We will see what happens. Next week I may end up going to the Viking Festival. We'll see what happens with that. That's a perhaps thing next weekend. Yeah, I might get to watch a sword get forged. That'll be pretty awesome. I don't think I'll buy one. But if I watch, again, I do love things that are made by people. It'll be hard for me not to buy one. I imagine it'll be hundreds of dollars to buy a sword that was forged. I mean, if they have a Kill Bill sword, I might be fucked. You know, I might be fucked. That's really all I've got, though. As always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.